morning. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles this morning to Micah chapter 6, Micah chapter 6 in the Old Testament Minor Prophets. We will be taking our message from that text this morning. As you're turning there, we're glad that you're here. We appreciate your presence and we hope that you will come back. In Micah chapter 6 in verse 8, Micah asks a question that we want to consider this morning. And speaking on behalf of God, he says, "What does the Lord require?" So let's look this morning at the Lord's requirements for our life. It's a great text of Scripture, and as we're going to see this morning, when God speaks about what he requires, we're going to find that it's found all over the Scripture. It's not just something that the Lord wanted in Micah's day. It's something that God wants for all of his children of all time. I'm glad that you're here, and I hope that we can spend some time in God's Word that will help us to be better Christians in God's sight. In Micah chapter 6, we're going to read the first 8 verses together, if you'll turn there in your Bible. Micah is speaking about 730 years before the time of Christ, when both nations of Israel and Judah are still in existence. And Israel, of course, is very wicked. Judah is holding on. They have some good kings and some bad kings. If you turn back to the very beginning of the book, Micah is prophesying during the time of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Jotham was a fairly good king. Ahaz was very bad. Hezekiah, of course, was a good king who had a number of good reforms. So in Judah, things are mixed. In Israel, of course, things are very bad. And at this time, God's people, many of them are just simply going through the motions. They're still, those in Judah are still going to the temple. And they're going through the motions and so forth. But inwardly, they're not living the way God wants them to live. And the lesson that I want us to consider this morning is this. What we're going to learn from Micah's question is this. God doesn't want us simply to go through the outward motions in a physical place, like coming to the church building. It's a part of our service to Christ. We need to be here. But that alone is not what he wants. What he wants is a service to him that starts from the inside out, and it includes things that are done inwardly and that show themselves in outward actions, but they start from within, and it's more than just going through the physical routine. So if Micah were preaching to us today, he would say, God doesn't simply want singing, praying, the Lord's Supper, the contribution, preaching, and prayer, what we call the 5 acts of worship. God doesn't want that alone. He wants us to have an inward heart that is right with him. We can show up at a place and not necessarily be right with God. They continued to come to the temple, but they were not right with God. And so because of that, God, through Micah, says, what does the Lord require? We have to get back to what does the Lord require. A lot of times today, brethren will say, well, what are the requirements to be a member of the Church of Christ? What are the requirements? And we'll say something like, well, you need to come on Sunday and take the Lord's Supper, and you need to give. And some brethren don't give. And you need to give. It's a command. You need to give. But some brethren don't give. But they'll find out, well, what do I need to do? What are the requirements? And a lot of times it has to do with, what do we do here at the building? And God would come to us and say, yes, I want those things, but there's some other things that I require that are deeper and inward, and that's what I want as well. So let's look at Micah chapter 6, and let's answer the question, and let's let God answer the question, what does the Lord require? Micah 6, verse 1. Hear you now what Jehovah says, arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear, O you mountains, Jehovah's controversy, and you enduring foundations of the earth, for Jehovah has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of bondage. And I sent before thee Moses and Aaron and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, devised and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him. Remember from Shittim unto Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of Jehovah. So the first thing God says in these first five verses is that I have a controversy with my people. I have a contention with my people. And that is, they're not living right. They've got sin in their lives. And if you were to read the book of Micah, you would find several places where they're doing very, very sinful things. And so God says, I have a contention and a controversy with my people. They're living in sin and they need to change. And verse 4, even though I brought them out of the land of Egypt, and even though I helped them during the wilderness wandering, verse 5, all the way up until the time that I brought them into the land of Canaan, I have done nothing but good to them. And what they're showing me in return is they're living sinful lives. So I have a contention and a controversy with my people. Now look at verse 6. So in response to God's controversy and contention, the people are going to respond through Micah, and they're going to say, well, the way we'll resolve this is we'll just bring you, Lord, a bunch of sacrifices. So we'll just heap up a bunch of sacrifices, and that'll make this problem all go away. So look at verse 6. Wherewith shall I come before Jehovah? This is Micah speaking on behalf of the people. They're going to resolve this controversy, and they're going to say, well, we'll just bring a bunch of sacrifices down to the temple. Wherewith shall I come before Jehovah and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and with calves a year old? Will Jehovah be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? So the people start asking questions in a response to God. Well, do you want me to just bring a bunch of sacrifices? Will that solve this? And even I'm willing even to bring the firstborn of my own family or my own body. They may have been suggesting even child sacrifice, which some were engaged in this time. Under the reign of Ahaz, some were engaged in that kind of thing. Basically, what the people are saying is, Lord, will you be pleased if I just bring you a bunch of sacrifices? And of course, these are rhetorical questions. The answer is no. The Lord is not pleased with that. What he wants is what's mentioned in verse 8. And so, What I don't want is just a bunch of sacrifices. All throughout time, God has made the point, I don't want sacrifices alone. It has to correspond and go with inward obedience to me. You're not going to solve this problem by just coming up to the temple and bringing a bunch of sacrifices. You've got to change some stuff from the inside out. Okay? And so this principle then is stated in verse 8. He has showed thee, O man. And so Micah is speaking to the people. He, God, has showed you, O man. Israel and Judah at this time, God has showed you what he wants. What is that, Micah? What is good? And what does Jehovah require of thee? But to do justly and to love kindness and to walk humbly with thy God. And then starting in verse 9, which we won't take time to read, down through the end of the chapter, various sins and wicked and abominable things are mentioned among the people. What does the Lord require? Oh, I know what he requires, that I get up there to the church building, the Church of Christ church building, and make sure that I sing and pray and take the Lord's Supper and give and listen to some preaching. Now, during the week, I can live any way I want, but as long as I get up there to the church building, I'll be fine. Micah would say to us, no, the Lord requires something else. Those things are good. Those things are fine. offering up sacrifices, verse 6 and 7. That's what the law required, and the Lord certainly wanted that. But not that alone. He wants inward character, inward moral purity. Our lesson this morning kind of goes along a little bit with what Daniel said around the table with regard to the contribution. Gratitude, that is just an inward moral character that needs to be in our life. And we're going to see some other things that need to be there as well. First of all, what we learn from this lesson is the Lord has requirements. What doth the Lord require? Underscore that. The Lord has requirements. And to be right with Him, we've got to meet these requirements. In our society today, it's kind of loosey-goosey, and you just sort of do whatever you want. There's no requirements at home, and there's no requirements at school anymore, and there's no requirements out in culture, and so you just kind of live any way you want. But there are requirements to be right with God. And they're not difficult. John says that we need to keep God's commandments, and to love Him is to keep His commandments, but they're not grievous, 1 John 5:3. So that the requirements are not so hard that we can't meet them, but we do have requirements. We also learn from this passage that the requirements are personal. They are personal in our lives, and they are for all people. We're going to look this morning at justice, kindness, and humility. Justice, kindness, and humility. Those are the three things that we're going to look at. And these are personal in nature. They need to come from us each and every day, and they are for all mankind. When Peter preached to Cornelius and his household, he preached of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God is just and fair and equitable with everybody. But in every nation, look at this, he that fears Him and works righteousness is acceptable to Him. In every nation, he that fears Him. This is walking humbly before God. Every nation, every person, Jew or Gentile, all of these things are required of all of us. And we're also going to learn this morning that the Lord's requirements are precise and they are practical. When we look at justice and mercy and humility, those are three precise things, and they are practical, and they need to be in our lives. We're going to, and I try to do this with all my preaching, but we're going to be very practical in those three things. We're going to learn how we can actually be just, how we can actually be merciful, how we can actually walk humbly before God. Brethren, what Micah is saying here is that the Lord doesn't simply want outward, external, going through the motions. He wants there to be other things that come from within. And you know that these requirements were not just simply of Micah's day. If you'll turn back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. Back when God is giving the law of Moses, and they're on the plains of Moab there, and the law is going to be repeated again. These principles are not just for Micah's day. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. This is something that God always wanted of His people. And now, Israel, what does Jehovah thy God require of thee? Where have you heard that before? What does the Lord require? You see, it's not just in Micah 6, 8, but here in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. But to fear Jehovah thy God, and to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve Jehovah thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. This is the very thing that Jesus brings up in Matthew chapter 22 when He's preaching during that last week before going to the cross, and He's asked, what is the greatest commandment? And He says, well, the first commandment is to love God with all of your heart, and a second likened unto this, to love your neighbor as yourself. That encapsulates Micah 6:8. Because Micah 6:8, you're to do justly, you're to show mercy, and you're to walk humbly with thy God. Responsibilities toward your fellow man and responsibilities toward God. And Jesus summarizes that in Matthew 22. In fact, he says, on these two commandments, the law and the prophets hang. Brethren, these principles were not just for Micah's day. We see them back in Deuteronomy, and you go forward to the time of Christ, and you see them in Matthew chapter 22. And now turn with me to Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23. When Jesus rebukes the scribes and the Pharisees again during this last week, notice what he says. When Jesus makes this statement, it's almost his commentary on Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Look at Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe, count out a tenth, mint, anise, and cumin, and have left undone the weightier matters of the law. And then look at this. This is Micah 6, 8. Justice, mercy, and faith. But these ought you to have done and not left the other undone. Verse 23 is his commentary on Micah 6, 8. Justice, mercy, and faith. Micah says, justice, mercy, and walking humbly with your God. Why does Jesus bring it up again? Because these requirements and these principles are the same for all ages. And number two, God does not just simply want external things. They were doing the tithing, counting out a tenth. And in Micah's day, some of them said, well, do you want us just to come up there to the temple and bring a bunch of sacrifices? No. What I want is what I called for all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 10. I want justice, mercy, and faith. Walking humbly with my God. And I don't just simply want externals. I want internal character. Internal character. There are people all the time in our culture today, and maybe even religious people, who go through these external things. They make these statements, and they go through these things externally, but internally, they do not have justice and mercy and walking humbly with God in their life. There can be religious people that go to a church building all day long and they don't have those three things in their life during the week. There can be politicians and leaders and other kinds of people that they stand up and they say all kinds of things, but at the end of the day, they don't have justice, mercy, and faith ruling them from the inside out. It's not there. They're devoid of that. And so it's a great passage to remind us today that there are things that are lacking on the inside of people that God wants there. So let's look at what those things are. Back to Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. What does the Lord require but to do justly? Let's look at these three things. These are things that are missing in so many people's lives. To do justly. The idea is to do what is fair and right and truthful and honest every day, in every action, in everything you do toward God and man, it is going to be what is fair and right. Somebody says, well, who determines what's fair and right? Obviously, the standard is God's Word. Do we always do what is fair and right in our family, in our marriage, in our relationships with the employer-employee, at school, at Walmart? Do we always do what is fair and right? Well, not always, but I go to church. I go up there to the church building. No. That was what was happening in Micah's day. They were still going to the temple, but in their weekly, daily affairs, they were not just and fair. They treated their fellow man unjustly, unfairly, dishonestly. If you take time to read the book of Micah, there are Bible passages in Micah that tell us that they would take bribes. They would abuse the orphan and the widow and take bribes and hurt the poor. They didn't care about people. But we'll come up there to the temple and we'll offer up some sacrifices. I don't want your 10,000s of rams, God says, only. What I want is for you on a daily basis just to be fair and right and honest with people. Not dishonest, not liars, not taking bribes, not trying to hurt people. You see, we need these things in our life. As an individual, as a city, as a state, as a country, we need this in our life. And so Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, one of the things that we need to think on is that which is just. It's fair. It's right. It's honest based upon the Word of God. And in the workplace, Colossians 4, 1, the employer is to treat the employee with that which is just and equitable. Be fair. Be just. Be right. Based upon a standard of God's Word. And even some laws of man are good laws. Even following those laws would be just and fair and equitable and right. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12 that we are to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And what you would have others do unto you, do to them. Treat others fairly and justly and properly. We need that in our life today, in our culture today, in our world today. And Micah says not only justly, but he says do justly. Let's look at that a minute. Underscore that in your Bible. He says, what does the Lord require but to do justly? It's not talking about just thinking about it or advocate. I'm advocating for justice. You'll hear somebody say, okay, that's fine. But at the end of the day, we need to go out and actually do it. Do it. Do justly. Not think about it, theorize about it, stand up and pontificate about it. But on a daily basis, go out and do it. And there are times all throughout the day and throughout the week where things are going to come up where we need to discharge our duties toward God and others with justice. It might be a small act that is done that nobody else knows about at work. Some little something you're about to do at work. Nobody else really knows about that. But you're going just to do what's fair and just and right. We're not talking about preaching about it, but doing it. Not just talking about it and holding up a sign about it and lecturing on it, but going out and doing it. That's what God wants. It involves the active discharge of just and fair and right duties. And so, all throughout the week, outside the church building, there are going to be times when, with God, and with our fellow man, and even with ourselves, and with our spouse, and with our children, and with other church members, where we need to do what is just and fair and right. When we think things about others and speak about others, make sure that it's fair. And that's hard to do sometimes. Make sure that it's fair. Make sure that it's just. Make sure that it is honest and truthful. The second thing that God says through Micah, this is what I require, is what? What does he say back there in Micah 6:8? But to love mercy. To love mercy. This is the word that deals with kindness. It involves acts of kindness, active kindness. And like the matter of justice, God doesn't want you just to think about mercy. He wants you and I to go out and actively practice that. The idea here is the idea of kindness and compassion. Where we are thinking about others Sometimes it involves forgiveness. Sometimes it involves treating someone nice. We're in a culture that is at odds with each other. There's a lot of fighting, a lot of discord. And we need to be more compassionate and kind to others. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." In Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, when he was praying there and giving us things that we can pray for, he talks about forgiving others so that you can be forgiven. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 37, he talks about the Good Samaritan. And when Jesus asked this lawyer, "Well, who do you think proved to be neighbor?" And the man said, this one who showed mercy. And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." The lawyer wanted to keep it in the realm of the hypothetical and theoretical. Tell me, who is my neighbor? Jesus gets done talking about what we call the parable of the Good Samaritan, and he says, "Go out and do it." There's going to be times throughout the week where we come across someone who needs compassion and kindness. What do we do with that person? Do we walk by on the other side like the priest and the Levite? Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31 and 32 that we are to show kindness and compassion. James says that being merciful is the wisdom that comes down from above, James 3:17. And the Lord was merciful to Job, James 5:11. We want the Lord to be merciful to us. We need to be merciful to others. And John writes, how do you have the world's goods and not share that? How do you hold back your compassion and not share that with others? John says, we need to love not only in word, but also in deed. And Jude says that sometimes mercy is needed in order to save the lost and snatch them out of the fire. They're headed toward hellfire. On some, have mercy. There are going to be members of the church who are wayward and they have fallen away. And we need to go talk with them. We talked about that a few weeks back in a lesson. We need to go talk with our brethren who are in a state of falling away. And we need to go with mercy and plead with them and have some compassion and talk with them and see what their issues are and help them. Give them an opportunity to come back. Try to snatch them out of the fire in which they are severely headed. Mercy. And God says, I want you to love mercy. This is very interesting. Did you ever have to do anything growing up because your parents forced you to do it or made you do it? Sometimes in life we did things only because mom and dad were right on us. And that's fine. I think when we're little, that's probably a good thing. They're showing us what we need to do. But we need to grow up and mature and get to the point where we're doing it because we love to do it. And we don't want a situation where, well, the preacher preached on mercy this week, so I guess I better go do it. Get my quota in. What does God say there in Micah 6:8? To love mercy. To love being compassionate. To love helping others. What a great attitude that is. We don't stop doing the externals. The problem that Micah is addressing and that Jesus was addressing in Matthew 23, the problem is you guys are doing the externals only. And internally, you are not right with God. It's not one or the other, it's both. And so we're learning this morning, what does the Lord require? Justice is one. Each and every day. Not some cultural movement justice, but just each and every day justice. And it might take hold and branch out and go across our culture. That would be fine too. But just each and every day personal justice. And each and every day personal mercy. And when we do, the proverb writer says that the merciful will have a blessed soul. Proverbs 11:17. And the merciful will find the righteous life. Proverbs 21:21. It's greatly rewarded. It's not popular. These things are not popular with people around us. With people around us, it's fighting and causing problems and being uncaring and unloving and unkind. That's what's popular in our culture today. But we're going to be different. And we're going to be greatly rewarded by having these inner qualities that God wants. And then look at the third one. In Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, God says through Micah, I want you to do justly. I want you to love mercy. And I want you to walk humbly with God. This is an agreement. This is harmony. This is unity. And you'll notice that when Micah preaches this, to walk humbly with thy God. Can you imagine how life would change if everybody in Clarksville and Montgomery County and Tennessee and our nation and around the world would start walking humbly with God? Can you imagine that? How it would change. Our problem is pride, the opposite of humility. And by the way, if you take some time to read Micah, you can find that they were doing the opposite of all three of these things. They were acting unjustly, they were not merciful, and they were proud. Can you imagine how life would change, not just for us, but for others around us, if we would start walking humbly and be in agreement with God? What does God say in His Word? And I'm going to follow that. We had a lesson a few weeks back from Amos chapter 3. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? We've got to walk humbly with our God. Humility is a foundational inner character. It's like what Daniel talked about, gratitude. These are inward character things that I hope our parents will instill in their children as they're growing up. Inward types of character. Honesty, justice, compassion, gratitude, and now humility. If we instill these things in our children from their youth up, they will have that inward core. The externals will take care of themselves. They'll have that inward character that they need to be right with God. Humble walking with God is just another way of saying faith. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 23 in His commentary on Micah 6:8? To do justly, to love mercy, and faith. Justice, mercy, and faith. What is walking humbly with God? It's faith. Faith in God. Faithful obedience. Enoch walked with God, Genesis 5, in a very wicked world. Noah walked with God, Genesis 6, in a very wicked world. Abraham walked with God. When God told him to do things, leave your country, do other things, later in chapter 22, offer up your son, he just walked with God. He did what God told him to do. Even though there were great challenges involved. This is submission, this is not pride. Jehoshaphat walked with God, 2 Chronicles 17. He walked in the ways of his father David, father used there in the sense of ancestor, and he walked in the commandments of God. You're surrounded by people who are proud and arrogant, and I'm not going to submit, and you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm not going to follow law. I don't want law in my life, especially God's law. I don't want any of that. I don't want to humbly walk with God. I want to be rebellious. I want to be unshackled. I want to be whatever I want to be. And we've got to resist these cultural things that we often see around us and have a humble, submissive attitude of wanting to simply walk humbly with God. But I mentioned earlier that these things are very practical. So turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. What will humility do for us? It will lead us to serving others. The proud person says, you know, I'm not going to help anybody. I got my life and it's about me and, you know, it's all focused on me. Humility, which is the opposite of pride, humility says, I'm going to be a servant. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, likewise, you younger, be subject unto the elder. This is the older members. The elders overseeing the church, they have been mentioned in the first four verses, but Peter switches to the older members. Younger, be subject unto the elder. Yea, all of you, gird yourselves with humility to serve one another. Look at that in your Bible. Gird yourselves with humility. What does it lead to, Peter? To serve one another. If we're having a service problem, it's because we're not humble enough. If I come down here to the building and do some things to serve, that means I have humility. If I serve others, if I do, we've got the work list that have to be filled out, if I give someone a ride, if I clean the building, if I serve others, if I care for others, I go visit them, I check on them, that means I have humility. If I don't do those things, I don't have humility. Peter says, you gird yourselves with humility to serve one another. And you can see how that is so important in our lives. But keep reading. To serve one another. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. It will also lead us to serve God the way we should. To walk humbly with God is going to make us a better servant of the Lord. And it will be greatly rewarded. We need to humble ourselves like a little child in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we need to resist the devil and we need to draw near to God. But James says something else there. He says, be subject therefore unto God. But what did he say right before verse 7? Be subject. What did he say? God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Be subject therefore unto God. God will not have a part in our life if we're proud and resisting, but when we draw near to Him. So then he closes the thought in verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. What? And He shall exalt you. You will be greatly rewarded now and in the judgment day. These things, justice and mercy and humility, they make us come out of our own little world. My little world that I'm in, the whole world revolves around me. It makes us come out of that narcissistic, selfish little world and get out and truly serve God and man. And that's at the moment that Micah was preaching, that's what they needed. Don't read Micah 6:8 and say, oh, all throughout humanity, the only thing that God has required is three things. No. You read God's Word, you find other requirements at other times that He wants, but at that moment in time, what God's people needed the most were these three things. And that's what He mentions. And I would suggest that we need those same three things today. So, the Lord has showed what is good. He has revealed the requirements in Scripture. Micah 6:8 says, He has showed thee, O man, what is good. He showed you. Where? Where, Micah? Where has He showed us this? Right here. That's where He showed us. We can't say, well, I didn't know. I have shown you what is good. Now I want you to go out and do that. Brethren and friends, this morning, I appreciate your attention. It's been good to be able to spend some time in God's Word. This is what God wants. Yes, He wants the externals, and I'm glad to see all of you here, and I'm glad that we're here worshiping God. But Micah is saying, it's not about the externals only. Let's go out and have these inner qualities in our life. Others around us may not have them in their lives. You might work with people that are unjust. You might go to school that are with people that are not compassionate. You might be with people that are not humble at all. They're very proud. But that's their choice. We can try to help them with the Word of God. We can try to show them through a good example. But let's have that in our life. And it's these things that will bring us to Christ. We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement. These things in your life this morning will allow you to come down that aisle and be baptized into Christ, or if you need to come back to the Lord in some way, it'll cause you to come back. Let's go out this week, and as soon as this service is over with and we're walking out that back door, we can immediately practice justice, mercy, and walking humbly. Let's all do that. If we can assist you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing this song of encouragement?